I'm so glad. Well, you know, how was it working with Timur and not Tobias?
Well, I'm Tobias, so it was yeah. just a different Tobias.
Yeah. A colleague. Timur is a great visual director. He's a very, very fun humoristic guy who makes people feel well while working. And he gave me my first American film, so I'm very thankful for this collaboration with him.
And you're fabulous as part.
Thank you, sir.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
How do you get into the skin of pilot without falling into the trappings of how film, TV, and books have portrayed him for all these centuries?
It's because I sit and I talk with Toby, because my job... The thing is, honestly, he's the antagonist. Masala's the antagonist of the film. But he's... You should talk about this, but for me, the most important thing wasn't to look good in front of the camera. You know, you got a lot of models who can do that. Mm-hmm. The most important aspect of this story for me was to make Masala... to have Masala have a conflict within. That he represents the Roman Empire, which I represent, and he is my protege. He's my little kid that I want to bring up in this empire. So the more that I can give him of this history, this Roman history, the more the complex your character becomes.
Precisely. And Bilu said it beautifully earlier that it was, he wanted to play the evil that everyone's claiming that is the Roman Empire. So, you know, as an actor, your job is to support not just, you know, whoever the lead of the film is, but everyone. So we treated Pilu as if he was Pontius Pilate. He can't be the king without us treating him that way. And so on and so forth. It meant that Pilu came up with a beautiful idea, which was to be that, which meant that I was trapped between. I no longer seemed to the her family, I seemed like this evil beast who had become. But next to Pontius, I was exactly the protege. I was the sibling of him.
With Warcraft and now this, you have a great summer, man.
How does that feel? Feels very good, yeah. Feels very nice.
You've been showing up like crazy since Rock and Roll. I love that.
Yeah.
How does that feel to you?
It feels very good. I'm very proud, very happy. Although, you know, I called my mother and told her I was making this. She's like, why? Why are you remaking that? John Heston's so handsome. Well, yeah, no. I know, Mum. I know. I got to get paid, Mum. I have to pay my bills.
And your bills.
And your whole bills. Your car doesn't drive itself for free.
Well, Masala didn't seem to be very, like, evil. Or neither did Pilate. Pilate just seemed to be, like...
No, he represents. He's a soldier. Yeah.
Like, Marcus seemed like the guy that you really wanted to punch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just David. No, I'm teasing. He did. He did that. And he wanted that same thing. So when we were having this discussion, we're having this as friends and colleagues. Mm-hmm. And David was like, well, you know, then Marcus should be that absolute just blind fool. So it's really a situation that I didn't want him to be the villain all
he
the
was,
way
he
through.
He was rather benevolent.
Precisely. Yeah. So I wanted him to have the ability to make a terrible decision that changes these lives. Otherwise, he really is just a bad guy, and that's not true. And some of the nicest people I've ever known have made horrendous decisions that are mistakes. And that's where forgiveness comes. Can they forgive themselves? Can they be forgiven? And so that was really what we were telling. We weren't remaking a film. We were retelling the book. Yeah. And when you read the book, it is the journey of two young brothers, one ambitious, one with family ties and duties, and then they come back and they're totally misaligned. They're different people.
Yeah, Tony, I want to ask you about the all-important chariot race. You're no stranger to horses.
Mm-hmm.
You also didn't have the 2 years that Yakima Canute had in the 1959
True enough.
Version. So what was your training? First, the training regimen, like, to learn chariot driving, but then also the shooting of it, because in this one, I know that Timur was very excited about this. Every conversation we've had for 2 years was ended up as the chariot, that he was happy with all the horses.
Yeah.
But we're not shooting in 70mm Panavision. It's narrowed down, which requires a lot more setups, a lot more shooting. Can you walk us through what the whole experience from training to filming of that was like?
Yeah, so training began, it was 1 month before shooting, so we were there 3 weeks before everyone else, yeah. And so, you know, there was a whole process of, the way you learn the chariot was, you learn one horse, you learn two horses, and then you learn four horses. And that is because your first horse is the horse you're going to keep on your outside right flank, because we're running the spinner to the left. Now, it was an actual scale spinner, and in the 59 they made it triple size, so they could have time and space to get these shots of wheels clashing or them whipping each other. We didn't have that time because we had the advancement of technology, which is a light camera. So we had cameras on the chariots, we had GoPros in soccer balls on the thing, so you could see under the horse's hooves. We had all this light technology, and that allowed to do it at full speed. We don't ever have to speed up the film, so no one's having to do this and looking at, you know, we don't have to do that. And it's not because they couldn't do it, it's just the technology wasn't there, the camera's capability wasn't there. So we knew we were going to be doing this full speed. That was the reason I signed up for the job, was Timo said, we are doing this, it's not CGI. There's no technology can give me four horse characters for each of the eight chariots. It's just, it's too much work, so we're going to do it for real. And the reason you learn one horse, twofold. First thing is, if you stamp on the brakes that we had, which were disc brakes, the chariot hops. It just is, it's a physics thing. And at the front, we have a pole that's attaching the horse to the chariot. If that pole touches the ground, we're tumbled over. So you can't stamp on your brake. So really, you have to learn this horse. And this horse learns your voice. He's on your outside right because he's your smartest. So he's going to be running the full race with you. If we do seven laps, he's running all seven laps. He's going to hear your voice over eight other voices calling and yipping and woeing. And then you've got two bulls. They're just going to run. They're runners. They're sheep. They'll follow whatever George or Motsi does. Now, Motsi is your inside horse, and he's the laziest horse you've ever had. And the reason he's lazy is my strength is nothing compared to one horse. So compared to four, forget about it. There's no point. So I have Motsi to break stride. Now, Motsi doesn't want to run. So even on the long straight, he's still sort of doing this. So he breaks stride. The two sheep follow him. Now it's me and three horses versus George. And George is listening to my voice. So suddenly I've got a symbiotic relationship, and I can actually leave these horses thinking I'm in charge. Which is not true at all.
Who was better with the motor?
Who was better?
Yeah, you were Jack.
Masala.
No,
I saw it. I was there every day. You were incredible. That was awesome.
Yeah.
No, Jack was awesome, but it was just different.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
He had a different approach. He worked different with horses. For Toby, you could see it was very important that he connected with his four horses. That's the reason why you did so much training, and then it was awesome.
Thank you.
It was incredible seeing these guys, and they did it for real.
Yeah, we had a great day doing it for Peter.
Yeah.
Because he was there watching the race, so we all just ran the race.
They just did it again and again and again, just for me.
It was great.
It was awesome.
Pressure on us, and we were just like, oh no, we're all like waving at him. Like, ah.
But I can see when you saw Jack and you standing with those,
you
gotta be strong.
Yeah,
you
have to hold those horses because they can go. I mean, it was eight seconds from the gate to the first corner. 8 seconds, it's quick. It's nearly 46 miles an hour.
In addition to all of the training you have to do with the horses, you also had all these sort of battle scenes to deal with as well. How much training did you do to sort of get through all of those?
A bunch. So every day was training at the beginning or the end of the day, in addition to shooting, which is a 12-hour day. Roughly runs to 14s with makeup, depending. Pilu had makeup. I had heavy makeup days. We had heavy stuff.
I was like, let's give him gray hair. Great idea. Cut to 5 hours later.
Oh,
fucking stupid idea, you cunt. I'm so sorry. It was you, and I didn't even have cool scars.
No,
it was just an Italian guy sitting with one hair at a time like this.
Oh,
no, giving me gray hair, like one hair.
Oh,
glue, one hair. I was like, dude.
It was a lot, dude. Every time you see him.
Yeah.
And how long did you have to sit to get the prosthetics on your face?
That was just an hour and a half.
Federico.
You really got the short end of the stick.
No. I was an hour. Mine was 2 hours or something. We met at the same time in the morning.
We were the early birds.
We were early birds, and thank God you're not sitting next to a guy who wants to talk constantly. Toby's a very quiet, cool dude. And I was so nervous, so I didn't say anything. I was just sitting like this.
So piggyback on that, which one's more challenging, costume-wise, makeup-wise, period piece like this, as opposed to medieval fantasy like on the show? Yeah, Game of Thrones. Production-wise?
Production-wise, this is, Ben-Hur is massive, so is Game of Thrones, but it's just so different.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones is maybe going to be a recurring character, I don't know yet.
Mm.
So I had to do something else. I knew exactly what I had to do with Ben-Hur. I had to be the antagonist's friend who represents something.
Mm.
It was my first American film, so I loved it. I thought it was fun, and I met some cool people. None of us had... We had girlfriends or wives and children, some of us. But you're very isolated.
Mm-hmm.
6-7 months in Matera, and Rome is lonely.
Mm.
And you, as a human being, we're animals that want to be together.
Mm.
So you hang out with Toby and you sit and talk, and then you talk one day about the film. Then you still have 6 months to go.
Yeah,
you know, because he's a good actor. I'm a good actor. We can talk about the characters, but then we know what we're going to do for the rest of the film and our scenes.
Yeah.
So we started talking about. Then you talk about literature. You talk about art. You family, whatever. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're not only having a career. We're also having a life.
Yeah.
Last question.
Very quickly, I'm curious because of the costumes,
mm-hmm.
the restrictive nature of the armors that you're wearing, especially with mobility. And just the sheer weight. How much added weight were you guys carrying around with the costuming?
The most added weight was the battle scenes that were rained on.
Oh,
we did 3 days of night shoots to run up a hill and fight 10 Persians. It was insane. But they got heavier and heavier and heavier because the leather starts to absorb water. So suddenly I was like, man, how am I so tired? This is ridiculous. And then I took the thing off, dropped on the floor, like, oh, I'm wearing another person. I've got a whole other body weight. This armor going around the chariot, it was too close here and it cut the blood off. I was getting numb arms and I was like, dude, I'm having like strokes or heart attacks. Something terrible is happening to me while I'm going. And then we realized the leather was way too close, so it cut all my blood supply off. But we cut it out and then did it again. And I got trigger finger, a thing called trigger finger. You get 2 tendons go this way, 1 tendon goes that way, right? This one swells and it won't open again. So my finger was closed like that and I was like, what has happened? I've got some mutations. And so they opened up and stuck a cortisone needle into that tendon and just shut it. And back to work. He's fine. His hand's open. Back to work. Great.
But isn't it impressive? After like so many stunting things, there was one accident and it was an extra who fell down the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
and Eduardo.
Eduardo, because we had a chariot that went up, and I said, we shouldn't do that. And
no.
They did it, and out he went. And I was like, oh, I'm glad it didn't happen when I was doing it.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a lovely rest of your day.
Yeah, you too.